nobody cares. And nobody believes a word that the guy says. I got two toy boats in the thing already, and they're having a good time together. But now, you got to ask the question. Once in a while, I come up with these crazy statements.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here, and 0% financing for 72 months is at Bill Curry Ford on 2023 F-150s. It's an exclusive offer that the Curry family is making available. They are buying down the interest so you can have this amazing deal for the holidays, but there are many, many more amazing offers at Bill Curry Ford. We'll talk more about them later. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there now. BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, he'll be there all month. He's the big boss, the big Bucks fan, host of the Best in Class podcast, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. And you can reach out to him directly through BillCurryFord.com. Ask him for the Ira Kaufman discount. Ask him for guidance. And this is the best time of year to buy a vehicle. Sean has explained that himself on this podcast. And just get there, BillCurryFord.com. We'll talk more about them later. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. There are so many legendary Big Storm beers, all brewed locally. They got their four tap rooms in the area. Odessa, right off State Road 54 on Success Drive. Clearwater on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, the big, beautiful flagship location. In Orlando at the Amway Center, and Ybor City upstairs, Centro Ybor. Great place to watch Bucks games. We always have the specials of the every Sunday at JoeBucksFan.com. But follow all the Big Storm tap rooms. Check them out on your social media. They've got different events, and the menus are all a little bit different. All the great food is different at each location. BigStormBrewery.com. And don't forget Big Storm Spirits. There's a big ad at JoeBucksFan.com. They have premium spirits, award-winning. Check it out. BigStormBrewery.com. Can't say enough about them. Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. They are the number one restoration company in the Bay Area when you have a disaster at your property. We'll also talk about them later. But now it is time to get to the big man himself. All right, Ira, look, we have got to get right into a little family squabble. And I'm not talking about the Joe Bucks fan family, Sage. I'm talking about the Buccaneers family. This is a little bit shocking, and we have a lot of layers to peel here from this because it's not necessarily as it appears, Ira. Chris Godwin's wife, somebody well-known to Bucks fans, Mariah, she was a feature with Chris on 2017 Hard Knocks, and people love their story of dating in high school and Chris Godwin asking permission to his football coach if he could date his daughter, which this is who Mariah is, and blah, blah, blah. They stayed all together. They're very close. They run a foundation for dogs. They had their famous Super Bowl celebration that people saw on the different America's Game and things. And so people know who she is. And she's at training camp practices. She's a fixture there, you know, watching and then talking to him afterwards. I believe she was a personal trainer for quite a while. And she lashed out, Ira, because we heard Todd Bowles say earlier this week, well, there was a reason that Godwin, you know, he subbed out a lot Sunday. He had the neck injury and he didn't necessarily get as much action because he was subbing in and out a lot. But that wasn't true. The snap counts didn't bear it out. Obviously, she was upset by that comment, but it was days ago, and Wednesday, she goes to Instagram, Ira, and she claims Bowles was blatantly lying. She's using screenshot of Scott Smith from Buccaneers.com. She's screenshotting a JoeBucksFan.com story with Lee ranting about Todd Bowles and the lack of usage of Godwin, and she's attaching other tweets and things like that and some video of Bowles. So this was a target shot at Todd Bowles, claiming he was blatantly lying. And she uses the term lying multiple times. Stop lying about Chris. Stop implying negativity on his work ethic. So what is your reaction here, Ira? I have a lot of detailed questions to ask you, but this is a big deal.
My first reaction is very simple, gentlemen. What took so long? This is what happens, Lee, in general, with a losing team. This happens. Frustrations build. I dare say, Lee, if the Bucks were 8-4, she wouldn't have said this, even if she felt this way. That's number one. Number two, I think one of the pot shots at Bowles is unfair. I didn't get the impression, Lee, maybe you did, but I haven't since the game ended on Sunday, that Bowles took any pot shots, so to speak, at Chris Godwin. He misspoke about the snap count, but he didn't take a pot shot at Godwin, at his work ethic, unless I'm missing something that Todd Bowles said. Now, I've got a little story, Lee. I haven't mentioned it on this podcast. For the last about 3 weeks, I've been bringing up, you know, where is Chris Godwin? I said it to you in the press box on Sunday. Uh-huh. Where is he? Yeah, he scored a touchdown Sunday, but he didn't catch a pass, Lee. The last 5 weeks, he's been basically non-existent. Evans is doing a fantastic job to pick up the slack, but think how much better this offense would be if they could get Godwin going at the same time. So, Lee, last week, I think it was last week, in the locker room, when the doors opened, I saw Godwin over there in the corner. I kind of knew that they were going to bring him up to the so-called podium, you know, with the screen behind him. I figured, hey, let me get him before they bring him up there and everybody's surrounded.
There you go.
So I walked over to him. I did it to Kemper. I walked over to him by myself, and I said, and of course, we had just talked to Bowles and Mayfield, you know, a half an hour before that. And I looked at Chris, and I, you know, smiled, and I said, I'm working for you, Godwin. I'm working for you. I asked Mayfield. I asked Bowles, where is he? Where's Chris? I said, I'm doing my best. I got to tell you guys, he smiled, but it wasn't a full smile. It was a half smile, almost a smirk. Uh-huh. And that probably should have told me right then he was damn frustrated. And how could he not be, Lee? Uh-huh. Because I keep coming back to the same phrase I've been using. He's too good for this. He's too good for this. Now, look, is he Tyreek Hill? Is he Mike Evans? No. But he's a damn good football player. And for whatever reason, and I'm curious to see what you guys say, because Buck fans are going to be quick to nail Bowles on this, that he's telling Canales, keep feeding Evans, don't worry about Godwin. I'm not believing any of that. Lee, I can't believe that. Mayfield's the guy with the ball in his hands, Lee. If Godwin's open, I don't see any reason why Mayfield won't throw him the ball. So it is a giant mystery. I don't think the neck injury was manufactured. I can't say that. I can't go there. He did play through it, Lee. He did. And it goes beyond this week with the neck injury. That's the point. This is a 5 or 6 week situation where Chris Godwin has disappeared from a floundering offense that could really use his help. I don't know why he's not getting the ball, Lee, but we now know that he's pissed off because his wife wouldn't put something that inflammatory out with the lying word with the head coach. I don't think she'd do it without running it past the player, Lee.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think she would put that out there, at the very least, if Chris hasn't mentioned something to her. Like, I don't know what's going on here, babe. You know, maybe he aired his frustrations to her, and then she responded. This triggered her, what Bowles said Monday afternoon. I'll tell you something here, just in case people are wondering. I was speaking with someone with the team about a month ago, and this person, I'm not going to mention names because it's immaterial to this conversation, but the person with the team was telling me someone, and I'm not even going to say what side of the ball, but he was loafing. It bothered the guy, obviously, because the team was starting to spiral, and this guy was loafing, he told me. And, you know, I see that Godwin's numbers had dropped so much, and, you know, I never thought Godwin was a loafer, but I knew there was some reason he wasn't getting the ball, so I took a stab, and I asked this guy, I said, is Chris Godwin dogging it? And man, did I get pushback. Holy cow, I thought this guy was going to punch me. How do you say that? How can you say that? I'm like, well, I'm not suggesting anything. His numbers are down. I thought maybe there was a reason. And this guy got just PO'd at me, visibly PO'd at me. I thought I was going to get punched for even suggesting that. And I never thought that way, but I thought maybe there was a reason. And this guy was telling me how a certain player was loafing. I'm like, well, maybe there's others. And I asked, you know, I just thought of Chris only because the numbers were dropping. Maybe he was frustrated. Maybe he wanted to get out. I trust this guy. So I think we can put that to rest. At least I can put that to bed. Godwin's not dogging it. That's not why he's getting limited targets. So,
Steve, we haven't gone through something like this since Brent Grimes' wife hit social media.
I got a couple of things to put in perspective, but give me a short answer on this one. Do you agree with Lee's assertion that she must have run it by Chris Godwin before she took to social media?
Yes, I do. I do agree with Lee, yes.
Well, then I guess my follow-up question is, what the hell is Chris Godwin's problem? Why would he okay something like this right before the biggest game of the season?
Well, if she didn't run it past him, doesn't Chris Godwin have every reason at this point to be pissed off at his wife? I
did not suggest that he ran it by her. I suggest that maybe he aired grievances to her.
Yeah, that's right.
And then she, as a result, took the next step. Now, I don't know if she said, Chris, you want me to write this? I don't know. I have no idea. But I just think that Chris maybe told her, maybe more than once. I don't know what it is with these guys. They say they're going to get me targets. They don't get me targets. I don't know what to do. I'm not that hurt. I'm out there playing, you know. Well, and maybe she took it the rest of the way. I don't know.
Sage, here's the question I have. Is one of the big reasons you, particularly, as well as many other Bucks fans, have celebrated Mike Evans and Chris Godwin is because they're not divas. And I'm not saying that Chris Godwin ordered Godwin ordered his wife to do something. However, if you think that he sort of gave her a thumbs up in whatever way possible, then that's a major league diva move and kind of a weak move too, to have your wife go off on it. It's a little strange. We don't know what happened, obviously, but what sticks in my craw, Ira, you know, I'm a numbers guy. Okay. There's 13 receivers in the NFL, 13 with 9 targets or more a game. Godwin's at 7, and he had 9.5 last year. So are you really going to just do something like this for 2 targets a game and not keep it in-house? I don't know.
Maybe the numbers are even more skewed than that over the last 5 weeks. Maybe they're down to 5 a game and not 7.5. Now, Steve, you didn't answer my question, and I'm very curious. Maybe I'm missing something. Godwin's wife, more than implied, she said it. She doesn't like Bowles questioning her husband's work ethic. Steve, did I miss something? I don't see anything that Bowles said in that regard.
Well, I think the implication was that, hey, you're telling people that he was hurt and had to be subbed out, and he wasn't, and that's just a lie. So when you're saying a guy in the NFL can't go 100% because of injury, and he can, that's a negative slap at his work ethic and everything he did to get back on the field. That was my take.
All right. Well, you know, I thought we were past this stuff, but, you know, when Antonio Brown left town, and by the way, he's still taking pot shots at the organization.
Oh, really?
But I think I speak for Buck Nation, Lee. Who the hell cares what Antonio Brown has to say at this point? Nobody cares. And nobody believes a word that the guy says. I don't. Absolutely not. He's still talking about how they wanted to go back into a game injured or whatever. Anyway, back to Godwin. The cracks are starting to show. It still doesn't answer the basic question. Why isn't he getting more footballs thrown his way? Why is his production down dramatically? He doesn't have a serious injury for the past 5 weeks. Lee, is there any reason on God's green earth why Baker Mayfield wouldn't want to throw the ball to Chris Godwin?
This is the only thing I can think of, logical reason, and not necessarily a sinister reason. I thought it was very telling that when Mayfield, after Sunday's game, he admitted, he's like, he didn't want to be the guy that broke Mike Evans' string of 1,000-yard seasons. So maybe, possibly, I wouldn't say forcing the ball, but maybe he's keying too much on Evans. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. And that could be it. And if that's it, that's a logical reason. I get that. And if that is it, we shouldn't be seeing that any longer, at least not this year, because he extended his record. You know, it's gotten to the point where I want to ask Canales, I said, does Chris just not fit into your offense? Now, mind you, Canales, I don't know how much of this is Bowles, but Canales moved Godwin from slot, where he excelled at his best seasons, to outside. Now, I'm not saying that he's worse outside. I don't know that. But you know what I always talk about, Ira? Don't fix something that's not broken.
Not the first time this organization's tried to do something crazy like that, Lee. And usually it doesn't work. Usually. Steve, the safest bet at this point, whether you think the Bucks are going to win this game or lose this game on Sunday, Steve, the safest bet in the world, Chris Godwin's going to get some balls thrown away in the first 10 minutes of that game.
So people should wager on his targets?
Sage, there was a lot of anger in her comments. And I think logic, since we're trying to apply logic to this, logic tells me that she's been mad at Todd Bowles for other things, and that this isn't just an isolated incident, that the past few games or that this past game he got three targets and then the coach made a comment that wasn't accurate about her husband. It feels to me like something's been brewing there. And, you know, she actually typed out as an excuse for, quote, stop using the injuries, parentheses, that he plays through as an excuse for whatever you have going on coaching wise. Now, that smells like a shot at either him or Canales or somebody. And I don't know. As like Lee wrote in the story that we had, he's probably not the only guy annoyed in the Bucks locker room as far as these targets go. But I don't really know. I mean, it's very, very strange that Chris Godwin wouldn't have just brought this up to coaches himself if he was upset about it. Maybe she's trying to speak for him. I don't know.
Well, I think you're onto something, Steve. I think you might have stumbled onto it. I'm not going to give you credit that you uncovered something.
Thanks,
Aaron. But you might have stumbled on something, Steve. And, Lee, it's very interesting because maybe there's an implication about what Steve was saying with Godwin, that this is a long-time comment. Maybe Godwin's pissed off about his different role, and it has not turned out well for Chris Godwin. And before anybody throws him under the bus as a crazy diva, Lee, it hasn't worked out so well for this offense in general. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It's not a good offense. It's not, and it hasn't been. They scored 23 points. People are celebrating down Dale Mabry Boulevard, with candles. So Lee, in so many ways, this move hasn't worked. It just hasn't worked. I think it's time for Canales to come clean and say, hey, I think we made a mistake with Godwin, and we're putting him back where he belongs. We tried something. It didn't work. I don't think Godwin's happy with his role right now.
And I don't know if we'll ever find out. You know, maybe at some point some player will talk. Like some eventually, it took years, but someone talked about why no one wanted to sit next to Kellen Winslow on flights. I won't go into that.
Right, right.
But we sure get the impression, and Todd Bowles gives the impression, he's very hands-off on the offense. Is that an accurate impression? I don't know that. You know, Canales isn't going to call out Bowles, but it makes you wonder. You know, the offense was trash last year. It ain't a whole lot better this year. They can't score points, like you said. I mean, they huff and puff and blow a house down, and they barely get 20 points against the worst team in the league. And that's right. Pretty much par for the course for the Bucks. The common denominator, I hate to say it, it's Todd Bowles. From what we saw last year, and now you have pretty much a different offensive line. You certainly have a different coordinator. You have a different quarterback. Yeah, we see the same stuff. What's the common denominator? Well,
Lee, don't you agree that this team's going to close ranks? There are conversations going on. Bowles, Light, maybe even a Glazer. Bowles is not scheduled to speak. Neither is Mayfield.
Ira, you know how this goes. Look, the Sage picks up the phone in the morning after he pours his coffee and says, Todd, what do I need to know here? What's going on? And that's how you get your answer.
I'm not sure I'm going to wait till the morning, Steve. But I'll get to the bottom of this. You know I will.
This shows you the respect significant people have in the community for Ira. Ira and I and Eileen with Channel 8, never a couple of others, we're outside the Bucks locker room waiting to go in. There's a security guard that will let us toward the locker room earlier than most before the players arrive. So we got to watch the players arrive right by the locker room door, and we could see the Glazer family waiting. They wait. They sit in a line, like a review line, like you're going to the White House or something. And there's a review line of Glazers ready to shake hands. And Joel Glazer saw Ira across the concourse from the locker room. Joel Glazer walks up to say hello to Ira and shook his hand. That shows what kind of respect and that Ira carries among certain heavy hitters in this area.
And Lee, you left out the line that Joel said to me as he shook my hand. He turned to DeKemper, who was standing right next to me, Steve, and he goes, Ira gets very pouty and upset when I don't come over and acknowledge
him. You know, Lee made me think of something. You know, the best part of going to the White House with the Buccaneers, I realized that the Glazers have no rank here. They're just like any other schlub eating from the buffet like I am. So, you know, it was just a totally different vibe. It was like, hey, you know, hey, I'm cutting you in line. Who are you, you know?
Steve, is it conceivable that Godwin's wife would put this out to such an inflammatory extent without running it past her husband? Steve, does that pass the logic test? I don't know about that.
Well, here's the thing, Ira. Of course, we have no idea. I mean, that's just the reality. We don't know. But what I can say about that is Godwin was the featured interview for an hour on the Buccaneers Radio Network two Mondays ago. And he was all smiles, you know, very positive. He talked about his injury. He explained it, how it popped up and that he thought it was past him and all that. But he talked and he talked about his wife. It certainly seemed like their relationship is as fantastic as ever, the way he was talking, for whatever that's worth. So it's really hard to believe that she wouldn't run it past him and talk about it. And maybe he just said, screw it. I don't know, but it just doesn't fit his MO. But then again, we don't really know these guys and how mad he might be about the situation. I know I'm in the minority. I see the numbers. I'd love to see Godwin be targeted more, but I mean, the guy's got 600 yards. He's not exactly a lighted up kind of player. He only averaged less than 10 yards a catch last year. I guess I understand he was injured, but you know, his numbers really aren't off his early numbers in his career.
Steve, I
don't know.
I think the one touchdown is swaying on him. The one receiving touchdown, that's bothering him. I don't blame him either.
Yeah, I mean, something's bothering him. Something inflamed that family there, and I don't know what the situation is. Maybe they're thinking of their next contract. I have no idea, but it's messy. It doesn't speak well for Todd Bowles because, like you said, Ira, if the record was flipped and they were 8-5 instead of 5-8, no, sorry, if they were 7-5 instead of 5-7, this doesn't happen. You know that, and I know that, and it's just unfortunate that this is where we are. I think it speaks to something bigger. What that is, I don't know, but
let me throw this out there too. Once in a while, I come up with these crazy statements, and sometimes they're not that crazy. Lee, I'm going to predict something. I don't know why. I got this feeling. I'm going to predict something. I think Devin White's played his last game.
Wow.
I'm not sure he's starting if he's healthy. I'm not sure at this point. I think there are things going on behind the scenes. That's my sense. I think the organization has soured on him. Bowles has defended him as much as Devin White could have possibly have hoped for publicly. Who knows what Bowles is saying to him behind enemy lines. I don't even want to mention Pro Football Focus League because you and I don't put a lot of faith in it, but they're killing White. They're calling him one of the worst linebackers in the league. I don't know if I'll go that far.
Sean Sullivan, huh?
yeah, don't mention that. He's had a bad season, Lee. And the defense, you know, holding Carolina at 18 points is nothing to hang your hat on. Dennis is healthy, Lee. I'm not sure White gets back on the field.
Wow, that's saying something. Now, what I can say is when a guy like J.J. Russell comes in and puts together a game like he had, I mean, he never started a game in his life in the NFL. And he probably had as good a game as Devin White has had the last 2 months. I don't think I'm crazy saying that. That's not a good look for Devin White.
I don't think Russell, Steve, had taken a defensive snap this season. Not one.
Ira, I can't even comment because to me the Panthers are playing junior varsity football and throw in the rain. It just to me like it was like a preseason game that the Bucs look like crap in. That's just me.
Steve, am I nuts to suggest White may not be back on the field this year?
I think you're nuts, but the sage has intuition and you know, usually born with some knowledge and understanding, and it wouldn't shock me if he decided mutually with the team to mail it in, if he's hurt, who knows what's going on with his foot. But I don't think Bowles or the organization has decided to put him on the shelf.
Okay.
But we'll see. Anyway, what do I know, Ira? I'm just surprised, Ira, that 2 years ago, that day that, Lee and I didn't give you proper respect in your column and publish a column and we forgot, that your wife didn't take to Facebook and blast us publicly. You know, is that because she just doesn't love you like Mariah Godwin loves Chris?
You know, guys, here's the flip side. If I'm wrong, that Godwin's wife ran it past him. That's the line I'm using. Now, Lee, I am in no way suggesting that Godwin put her up to that. I don't believe that for a second. So I'm not saying that. But Lee, the flip side. If she put that out without running it past Chris, Godwin and you're Chris Godwin, I got a problem with my wife at that point.
I just want to know how you would handle it if you're Chris Godwin and you didn't give permission for this. What does Ira do?
He certainly didn't tell her to take it down, or she's not listening to him when he asked her to take it down.
That's a good point, Lee. That's a good point.
Yeah, and that's an important point. Regardless of what was said on Thursday, Lee, it was up there for many, many, many hours overnight, and he knew about it, and it stayed there. So what does that tell you? That's why I don't want to get into the X's and O's of what was said Thursday and this and that, because who knows? It's all spin. And we know what happened, and we've been exploring it. Sage Florida's EliteRestoration.com is where everyone needs to go. And then they can see all of the Florida's Elite Restoration services that they might need if they have a disaster at their property. Storm damage, flood, fire, mold, whatever it might be, Florida's Elite Restoration can handle it. But you have to call them immediately before you call your insurance company so you can get that evaluation with experts in your home free to see what's going on and to know how to proceed. Florida's Elite Restoration will work with your insurance company and fight for you to make sure you get the money that you deserve to restore your property after one of these horrible disasters that happen really all the time. That's the crazy thing about it. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Call them first. Tell them Joe Bucks fan sent you. Tell them Ira Kaufman sent you. And if you eventually need their services and sign an agreement for them to do work for you, they'll give you $500 back, either toward your deductible or just cash back on something you pay for. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Get there. That's what's important. Get there. Bookmark it. You can trust them, and then you know who to call, and you can feel protected. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Hey, Ira, look, we got a football game on Sunday, Bucks at Atlanta, and this is obviously a big story, not because, you know, somebody's wife throws it out there, but the effort she put, we're talking screenshots and language like lying to the head coach, and, you know, Chris Godwin and his wife, they're not 21 years old. It's pretty stunning. And we'll see what happens. But what about this football game, Ira? The Bucks are going to get Lavonte David back and Servassie Dennis and Jamel Dean still out. Devin White still out for now. You know, they're banged up a little bit, but most teams are. So here come the Falcons with an incredible amount of weapons that they don't really use very well and a bad quarterback.
Right.
But the defense is a little better. It's not great. I think they're ranking about top 10 in the league, 10th. They got a good safety. They've got some good corners. What the hell do you think happens here with this game? Do you expect the Bucs to look like a physical, nasty bunch? Because they just really don't look like that.
I think it's a big plus, Steve, getting number 54 back. I think that's huge. I'm not shedding any tears over Dean or Devin White at this point. The offense is pretty darn healthy, notwithstanding Mr. Godwin, his neck, and his state of mind. For whatever reason, the Falcon defense has made a marked improvement the last couple of years. It's a lot better than it was. Now, this Jesse Bates, now I said in my column the other day, you know, a lot of good safeties and nobody's playing better than Winfield. Well, Bates might be. If there's one guy playing better than Winfield, it might be Bates. So, you know, he looked like a free agent steal from the Bengals. Excellent pickup for the Falcons. Lee, Calais Campbell, he's not the player he was 5 years ago when you and I both wanted the Bucs to sign him as a free agent. That's when he went to Jacksonville. And he had a big impact with the Jaguars, Steve, that very first year. Big impact. I think he was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. I think he finished top five. Now, he's not the same player, but he's a hell of a leader, Steve. That goes a long way. And he's, you know, upgraded the play of everybody around him. On that unit. Lee, given the Bucs' problems on offense, which persist on a weekly basis, and the fact that Atlanta's defense is better than average, I don't know. I don't think I like this matchup in Atlanta. I think the crowd will be very strong. I don't think there are going to be a lot of Buck fans at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta played terrible, and beat the Bucs in Tampa. Falcons didn't play well that day, Lee. No, they didn't. They walk away with a win. This game, to me, it's got all the earmarks of putting the Bucs out of their misery, Lee.
Yeah, I tend to agree, and you're absolutely right. The Falcons are playing better now than what they were, what they did when they played in Tampa against the Bucs. And like you said, they played a road game, a division road game, played like garbage, three turnovers by the quarterback in the red zone.
Yes.
And they still won the game. I mean, that's almost trying to give a game away, and the Bucs dropped the ball, so to speak. So now they're playing at home. They're playing better. The Bucs are reeling. They're spiraling. They had to work to beat the worst team in the league. They had to work. It took a Antoine Winfield pick to put the Panthers out of their misery. I'm like you, Ira. I hate to admit it. I hate to say it. I think the Falcons win. I think it'll be close. You know, that's a goal of Bulls. Keep them close. Got to keep the game close, you know. Can't have explosive plays when you run up the middle between the tackles. No explosive plays. It's all starting to cave in on the Bucs. You know, this drama with Chris Godwin's wife, and who knows what's behind that that we don't know. And like I wrote in the story, who else is Kvetchin in the locker room that we don't know? If Chris Godwin, of all people, said this to his wife, I got to imagine there's other people that are grumbling in the locker room, but they don't have a wife to go to Instagram and let loose either. I just think it's all starting to cave in. And so I see the Bucs losing 24-19.
I'm going to say 20-13, Atlanta.
Well, Sage, this game troubles me because I know Atlanta stinks. I mean, they really do. They're just not very good, just like the Bucs aren't very good. They've got talent that can make plays, just like we've seen the Bucs, you know, let their talent rise up and win a game for them. The Falcons turn the ball over an awful lot. They're really bad at that. And so that's why I would never pick them. But I feel like I got to today because the Bucs just don't look that good. And for me, it comes back to the quarterback. He hasn't played very well. He hasn't been scrambling as much. I don't know how he really feels necessarily. And it's just not very good from Mayfield. He's got a four-week streak of an interception, multiple turnovers in some of those games. I don't know if they can pull this thing out. And they're committed to this run game, and they're delusional that they think it's great. I wrote up some of the quotes on Wednesday on the Buccaneers Radio Network. It's just mind-boggling how they just – they're literally saying that it's great. I don't understand. I don't – I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone or something. But I'm going – I think the Bucs just overall won't have enough. So I'm going 24-20 Falcons.
You know, Lee, when Steve said they're going crazy over on the Buccaneer Network about the run game, I can just hear Lee saying, well, look at the low bar they're starting with, right, Lee? I mean,
yeah.
When you have a bar that low, you know, where you're number 32 in a 32-team league, Lee, and now you're number 28, you know, you tend to go a little overboard. Now,
Hey, Ira, let me read you this quote, okay? This is just, you got me going here. This was Todd Bowles. He was asked about the running in the rain, and he's, you know, says, oh, it was great they took care of the football. Rashad White took care of the football. He didn't put it on the ground. Here we go. Quote, he got the tough runs, like I said, and when you can get the tough run to fall forward, you can live with third down getting positive yardage. Basically, he was saying, hey, if it's third and five, we can live with that. What? And then Harold Goodwin goes on to say, quote, how White's been amazing the last few weeks. And he says, quote, the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been almost lights out in the run game. We've been very efficient. What planet are we on? Rashad White had a terrible day until that final 30-yard run. The Panthers overcommitted. You know, you see these runs late in game sometimes. It's third and one. They need to stop. And he busted it, and he gets all the credit in the world for busting it. But don't tell me they were lights out in the run game when they were 19 carries for 54 yards before the one big run. I mean, that's not lights out. That's lights out like I don't want to watch the game lights out.
Shut the TV off.
You know what it is? It's not lights out. It's par for the course, right? You know, 3 yards a carry. We've seen it all year, except for the first maybe, you know, 3 or 4 games of the season. That's what we've seen. 3 yards a carry. Now, they ran pretty well in Indy, but I don't think this is the case, Lee. But now you got to ask the question, going back to Godwin for one more minute. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is the case, Lee. You know Godwin as well as I do. We've been around this guy. You hinted at it, Lee, but I don't know. I don't think you're trying to say that Godwin might be jealous of what's going on with Mike Evans. I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't think so. He's not jealous per se. I think he wants, you know, some more touches. He's like, you know, what do I have to do? I'm getting open. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Coach is up there and saying I'm hurt all the time and I'm being taken out and I'm not being taken out. I don't think jealous. I don't think so. But what I do think, and I'll just repeat it, that I think it was very telling what Baker Mayfield said after Sunday's game when he said, you know, he had pressure on him because he didn't want to be the quarterback to break Evans' record. You know, Godwin, you know, they were good buddies. I mean, Evans has said so many great things about Godwin. To me, at least, he has. And so I don't think there's any jealousy, but I think Godwin, yeah, and I'm putting words in his mouth. Maybe he's like, you know, what's this coach going up there and coming up with these stories about me when they're not true?
Yeah, Steve, I don't think there's a problem between Godwin and Evans. I really don't. Steve, now, Steve, you mentioned something the other day. You know, you might have been ahead of the curve a little bit. Steve, didn't you say something the other day when we were talking about Godwin? Why don't they throw that downfield again, to Chris the Godwin? You mentioned that, Steve. And to that point, most 40-yard or more completions. Mayfield's tied for the league lead. It's hard to believe that, but he is. He's got 9, and he's tied with a couple of other guys. That's more than Patrick Mahomes. It's more than a lot of guys. Steve, I can't remember. I don't know if Godwin's got any of those, Steve. I just don't. His yards per catch were down last year, down again this year. Steve, can't they throw this guy a 24-yard pass? Can't they?
Well, they won't throw him a go ball. We've seen it, so I don't have an answer to that. But yeah, Mayfield leads in that category. He's tied for the lead. And if you look at the stat geeks look at air yards, you know, the actual yards thrown of the ball, I mean, he's top 10 in 20-plus yard throws, 30-plus yard throws. So they're not playing it conservative. Yeah, some of the 40-yard completions are catch and runs. Godwin, I believe, had one against the Saints where he caught one and took off toward the right side of the field. And he got about 40. I don't know if it was 40, but it was in that neighborhood. I don't know, Ira. There's a lot of question marks with that. Bill Curry Ford has that 0% financing offer. It is not a joke. 72 months on 2023 Ford F-150s. It's a offer exclusive to Bill Curry Ford. The Curry family is buying down that interest rate so you can have the 0% for 6 years, which is extraordinary in this market. All the details, BillCurryFord.com. Now, our last podcast, everybody can listen to that. You can find it at JoeBucksFan.com. We get into a lot of other subjects. It's also out on the podcast platforms. You can enjoy that. Don't forget that if you're just catching this today. And, of course, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and we thank the support of Florida's Elite Restoration. You know, Ira, I just referred them to somebody yesterday. Unfortunately, somebody I know sent my wife a picture of a stove, that complete kitchen fire. That, man, it caused a lot of damage in a short amount of time, and I hope they make the call because it certainly looked ugly. You got to call them 24/7. Get that free evaluation so you know what you're dealing with, and if you need to move forward with the insurance company, you've got a stellar company behind you, floridaselite restoration.com. Now, Todd Bowles, what we didn't ask is, how does Todd Bowles deal with this? Does he call up Chris Godwin's wife and say, hey, or does he? Does he call up Chris and say, look, I want to come over to the house. I want to talk about this now. And, you know, I want to talk. And, or how does he deal with it? Todd Bowles has dealt with some weird controversy in his time. I mean, Bowles' regime with the Jets started off with his quarterback getting punched in the face and broke his jaw with the Jets in 2015. And that opened the door for Ryan Fitzpatrick to take the job. That was Bowles' one winning season, probably. Because his quarterback got punched in the face in a locker room fight. And he's dealt with adversity there and weird things that have happened with that team in his 4 years. What does Bowles do?
I think he's hurt right now. Look, the main point is the stats don't back up what he said about Godwin's snaps. The facts don't back him up on that. Whether that means he's a liar, I don't know. That takes it to another level. I think what he does, Lee, he does not... get involved with Godwin's wife. He doesn't, nor should he. He has a private conversation with Godwin. I mean, it might happen at 6:30 in the morning. You know what time these guys get in. Bowles' office could be a side room. Clear the air. Chris, I'm sorry if your wife thinks that I'm a liar, but we're trying to get you the ball. We're going to continue in that, and I've lost no faith in you as a player. A very honest conversation. And, you know, Godwin, he doesn't mind speaking his mind. And especially if it's a one-on-one and it's not going to get out to the media. Does Bowles want to go to the podium and address this? I don't think he will, Lee. I don't think he will. On the other hand, Lee, if he doesn't, then he's kind of put Canales out there, right, Lee?
Yes.
To take all the heat. So that's an interesting call for Bowles. But, Steve, to your question, he's not going to call up and try to speak to Mariah Godwin. That's not going to happen.
How much, Ira, or does it damage Bowles with the team, with the locker room?
It's a shot. And, Lee, you said it, and I'm not sure you're wrong. Other players might have their own beefs. Other players' wives might have their own beefs.
There's a click there. You're right.
Yeah. And, you know, for people that say, well, Bowles doesn't call the shots on offense. Well, ultimately, Lee, it falls in his lap, right? Lee,
yeah. The buck stops on his desk, yes.
It does. They're going to try to clear the air. And I think it's important they do 2 days before they leave for Atlanta.
Ira, how would you address the fact that Chris Godwin's wife, of all the things she chose to screenshot, of all the stories written out there about Chris Godwin's lack of targets, that she is quoting chapter and verse and screenshotting JoeBucksFan.com? Does that intrigue you at all?
Well, it's more than intriguing, Ali. It shows that we're usually ahead of the curve. We're usually ahead of the curve. And we were, because we've been talking about Godwin for a month. What's going on? And then you guys did the research on the snap counts. So to me, another proud moment for me to be involved with you gentlemen in this enterprise. I think for that perspective, it's a credit to the website and to the work that you guys put in. Lee, it still bothers me that she tried to intimate that Bowles was taking a shot at Godwin's work ethic. I don't know. I think that's a stretch.
It's a stretch by what we know. And that sort of, and maybe it's unfair to Bowles, that sort of implies that, what did Bowles tell Godwin?
Yeah, I mean
you know, that's conjecture, of course, but this opens up such a can of worms. Ira, your response to this. We've heard Bowles say this more than once, you know, gotta get Chris the ball. And like I ranted on your podcast, I'm done with this. I'm over it. Enough. Well, Bowles is the head coach. We just spoke. You know, buck stops on his desk. He's got the final say. He is the head coach. Bowles, if what he's saying is genuine, that, you know, we have to get him more touches, he should walk into Canales' office. If he has to have Mayfield there, okay. Walk into Canales' office and say, Dave, Chris needs more touches, or I'm going to find someone that can do that. You either figure out a way to get him more touches, or I'll bring someone else in here. You know, I think Bowles understands, I would hope so, unless he's been told differently, that he's on the hot seat. This is not the time to be a spineless leader. If he really means that, and he really wants Godwin to get more touches, order your offensive coordinator to do it, or take measures to make sure that that happens.
I'm not sure that conversation isn't going to happen this week. Steve, here's the overarching angle to this thing also that should not be lost. Steve, if the Bucs had the sixth, you know, best scoring offense in the league, you know, 27 points.
We don't hear any of this.
Then if Godwin's wife is yakking that he's not getting enough touches, you laugh it off, or it's not that big a deal, Steve. Yeah. It's not World War III. But, Steve, the fact is not getting Godwin involved is hurting this offense, and the offense is struggling all season long. So for so many reasons, you got to get Godwin more involved, because I think this offense could come to life a little bit, certainly more than it has, if you can establish Godwin back as that dual threat next to Evans. And right now you don't have it.
I got you, Ira. Look, I'm debating running a poll tomorrow on JoeBucksFan.com to see if fans would prefer Todd Bowles or Mariah Godwin to coach the team in 2024. Who do you think would win?
I think it would be damn close right now, Steve.
I think Steve mentioned this a little earlier, but just to expand on it a little bit, you know, I don't think she's a football novice. She grew up in the game. Her dad's a coach, or at least was a coach. You know, she was dating Chris when they were in high school together. Obviously, Chris played high school ball. She was dating Chris when they were at Penn State, obviously when he was playing ball there. They got married when he was with the Bucks. She's not a stranger to football. She grew up with it. I mean, her entire life
She's been involved in football in some way or another. May, no, she didn't play. But you know how some of these kids are of coaches. They know the game almost as better as almost as much as their dad because they're around it so much.
Steve, I might have the opening line of this meeting between Godwin and Bowles. Here's the opening line, Steve. Bowles to Godwin. Quote, Chris, did you know about the details before she pressed the button? I think that is not a bad opening line, Steve. And depending on what Godwin says, the conversation goes on from there. I think that's got to be the first way you approach this thing.
I don't know, Ira. That's out of my pay grade. We'll see.
Steve, one more thing. I went to one Bucky, and on the way home, I stopped at the dealership, Bill Curry Ford, right up the road, just north of the stadium. And I got to tell you, Steve, this is one massive remodel going on, and it's close to fruition. And Lee, it's going to be spectacular. Absolutely spectacular.
All right, Sage. So that's what you are, Ira. Spectacular. We will... Enjoy your weekend here as this Crossroads weekend.
First, I got to get out of the hot tub, Steve. But I think I can do that. Hey, Steve, have a good dub and safe trip up to Atlanta.
Ira, real quick, did you ever get the hot tub going? Have you been enjoying a good soak?
Oh, man, those bubbles are fantastic. I got two toy boats in the thing already, and they're having a good time together. They're all over the place.
You know what I picture, Ira, right now with the hot tub? I got to reach over the phone. And I don't know the character's name, but remember the Magnum PI, Tom Selleck?
Yes.
Who was the guy that ran and lived in a mansion that had so much money, and Tom Selleck stayed at his place?
It might have been Ed Glazer. No.
So Ed always had to reach out of the hot tub to get the loan. Or even better, he's Charlie and Charlie's Angels.
Steve, we better get out of here.
All right.